Good morning. How y'all doing? I love that hymn. I love that hymn. That is a great hymn. And we're going to be talking today about... I love that hymn. And today we're going to be talking about... Yes, you got it. That was much better. Oh, that first one you got a D minus on. That one you got an A. That was good. No, I don't average the two. I always take the best grade at the end, so whatever. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about this. God does not change. Now, we know this. We talk about this, but do we really understand that God does not change? Yeah, we sing songs about that, but do you really comprehend this very, very important aspect of God's character? Because I think a lot of times we don't. And I'm just going to take a few moments here this morning to try to show you a little bit and help you to see that God does change. Not. The world tells us God changes. Not. He does not change. God is not capable of change. So as we get into this, I'm just going to quick ask God to just bless our time. Father, we just come before you, and as it says in your word, the Holy Spirit, Lord, is the one that does the teaching. So take the words that you have given me as I try to express this. Please, Lord, teach your children. We open up our hearts and our minds to your spirit to do the teaching, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God does not change. He does not change. It's that simple. But it's a very difficult concept for many people. Even many Christians struggle with this at times because we just don't comprehend what this is talking about. Now, first of all, why do things change? Let's go to that. I mean, yesterday we talked about a lot of things changing, leaves changing, a lot of things, jobs change and stuff. Yeah, a lot of people change appearance, change, yeah, it's all over the place. But there's basically two real, just getting it down to two reasons why things change. And the first one is things break or they don't work right. For instance, I noticed a lot of children this morning looking at my little VMW, Volkswagen, it's not, whatever. But the thing is, this is not mine. It's really not. This was my daughter's. It's a Barbie car. Ooh. I raised three girls. I'm a biologist, couldn't figure out how to make a boy. So three girls, and this was one of their cars. Now, this is one of these cars. I remember when we bought them this toy, it was one of these radio control things. And so it goes. It rolls around on the floor, but it doesn't do anything. You know why? It's broke. It's broke. Does that stop the kids from playing with it? No, not at all. They still play with this thing. The little grandkids now, when they come over to the house, and they'll bang this all over the place. We don't care too much. I mean, needs a little repair here. But the thing is, yeah, it's a Barbie car, and no, there was never a G.I. Joe sitting in the passenger seat either. But it was just a toy, and toys break. And that is one reason that things change, is things break down, they don't work right. And you know why? They're not perfect. This was not a perfect toy. If this was a perfect toy, this thing would still be working, despite what my children did to this thing. How many times it went down the stairs and stuff. No, that's not a flat road for them, but they tried that anyway. But that's the problem with something like that. That is not working because it's not perfect. How many of you children right now, this includes the dads, as my wife would say, how many of you children right now have toys at home that don't work? Yeah, and I love this. I do see adult men raising their hands. Yes, let's be honest, guys. So, but that's one reason why things do break or they change is because they don't work right because they're not perfect. That's what it is. Have you ever tried building a sandcastle? I have built sandcastles. I used to live in the Bahamas, and I used to build sandcastles, and I used to, for some reason, don't ask me to explain, but I used to always call them Fort Foot because I actually built them using my feet. Don't ask. Don't even try and picture this. But I did. I would build these things, and I always put them like at the low tide mark when the tide's out, and you build these. You know what happens when the tide comes in? Yeah, it sort of gets destroyed, and waves come in, voila. And we've seen countless. I was thinking this morning, how many sandcastles must have been built down on this beach? And if you go down there today, there's probably not one standing there now. I doubt it because they're not perfect. Because of that, you know, you never want to build on sand. Remember, even Jesus said this. Remember the parable, building your house on rock or sand? Now, this here is a lighthouse. I don't know if you're aware of this. Can anyone tell me, raising your hand, can anybody tell me where this lighthouse is found? Besides on the screen? Nobody knows? You think you know? It's on an island, that's true. That's in the Bahamas. This is called, are you ready? This is called Hog Island Lighthouse. It's actually 202 days old. It was built and commissioned in 1817 on the 1st of September. It just had a birthday. And it's standing on rock. This is actually, most people don't know it as the Hog Island Lighthouse. They call it the Paradise Island Lighthouse because it's on Paradise Island where the Atlantis is and stuff. But that thing has stood for over 200 years. It's still not perfect, though. It still has to get painted. It's changed colors. I've looked at old pictures in some of my books when I used to live and teach Bahamian history, and this has changed colors over years, and I'm sure they've had to replace the light bulb and probably the Energizer Bunny that runs around on the inside running the thing. But the thing is, it's not perfect. Even though storms come, waves come crashing against it. Hurricanes have come. This thing has stood 200 years and 2 days, and it's not perfect, but it is built on rock. Could you imagine if they built this on sand? It would have lasted the first storm. You know, that would have been the end of it. So we have problems because things aren't perfect. This is not perfect either. There's other lighthouses. By the way, this is the oldest lighthouse in the entire West Indies, the oldest one. It's still functioning. It still works. If you ever take a cruise to Nassau, you're going to go right next to this thing as you come into the harbor. And this thing still is standing, though it's still not perfect. It is breaking down. It needs paint jobs. There's a lot of things going on with it. You see, when problems are discovered or found, we change things. Do you remember a thing called the Titanic? Yeah, they had a little problem with that. They built this huge, massive luxury liner. And the problem was, it wasn't perfect. They thought they had made a perfect one. Do you know what they actually bolted on the hull of that ship before it set sail on its maiden voyage? They made a plaque in bronze, bolted it onto the hull of the ship, stating, "The ship that God himself cannot sink." Is there any wonder why that is on the bottom of the ocean today? It didn't make one journey across. I'll tell you, if I was a Christian on board that ship and I read that thing, I would have been looking for the lifeboat right then. Because what an arrogant thing man had said. But a lot of changes came about because of the problems they had with this. They didn't make the watertight compartments waterproof at the top, and there was not enough lifeboats. They've done all sorts of changes. A lot of changes happen. And cruise ships today are a lot safer than this thing was. And wisely, man has never placed a plaque on one of these saying, "The ship that God himself cannot sink." At least that man has learned that lesson. But that's why we fix things, because there's a problem. They're not perfect. If they're not perfect, you have to change it. You got to make changes with it. And that's why we do things. Now, another reason that things change is because newer and better things come out. I'm a scuba diver. Many years ago, down in Florida, I had to get my watch broke. I had to buy a new dive watch. And I bought this one, went to a scuba store. And I wore this for a couple of years. I don't wear it anymore. You notice I got another watch on because this thing didn't work right after a while. The battery died. Dive watches are a mess. You got to unscrew them, there's seals and everything. And when they put the new battery in, it leaked. So besides, putting the battery in here was the problem. Now I have a dive watch. This one's a little different. This one's actually pretty old. It's the longest lasting dive watch I've had. And it still works. I never had to put a battery in it. It's one of these eco things. So just being out in the lights here on the stage is actually charging this battery. I love it. I've never had to change it. So newer products come out. Ooh, you know, like that. Newer things come along. And when newer things come along, we sort of like get excited about it because then we start changing things. For instance, now, I need somebody to help me here. I need someone who can, hon, I love your sweatshirt. Come on up here. Yeah, this is an advertisement for the marine biology trip. And what's your name, hon?
Adia.
Adia? Very good. This is Adia, folks. See the stylish sweatshirt she's got? Yes, thank you. Now, what I'm going to have you do is I've got a drill here. This is a drill. I'm going to have you drill into this piece of wood. Okay? It's an old drill. Actually, this is over 100 years old. This is even older than me. So if you want to take this, you put one hand here, you put one hand here, and you start turning it. You want to try and see how well this works? Yeah, start turning anytime. There we go. And there is a hole started. And she's making progress. We're at about 1 millimeter. Yeah. No, you're not supposed to laugh. You're supposed to drill. Concentrate. Okay, you can stop at this point. Back it up because it'll be hard to pull that out. Isn't that something? Wow. Pretty good, huh? She got that whole tip of that thing in there. Great job. Now, let's try something different. A newer product came along. Okay? This one, you just like that, right? Try making a hole with this one. Okay, she's got the thing. Oh, she's going to town. She's making progress. Sawdust is already appearing. Whoa, you've done this before, huh? No. You sure? It looks like you have. Okay, take that one out. Very good. Now, let's try something because a newer product has come out. Okay, this is really heavy. Okay, try using this power drill. Whoa! Pretty good. All right, now can you take, yeah. Now, I got to ask you, which one was the easiest one to use? The newer product was a little easier, huh? Could you imagine if your job was to drill holes all day having to use this? Somebody years ago, this is how they did it, you know? But this worked really good, didn't it? Well, thank you for helping me out, and here's a little gift for you. Thank you. Give her a hand. So new products come along, we change things because something better is there. Well, the problem is, maybe you've heard this, the expression, I researched this, I could not find where this came from. If you probably all heard this, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. But there's more to that, I found out in researching this. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. If it could be better, then it is just as good as broken. I took a picture of a telephone here. This is like from a 1940s type telephone. My grandmother had this exact style of phone in her house. And it functioned and it worked. But today we have these iPhone 7s. I mean, if you have the choice, which one of these do you really want to use? This was a lot cheaper, I will tell you. Yeah, the i7 is what most people are going to go for because it's newer. Even though this black phone would work, it's not broken. It works, but there's better things out there. So it's like it's broken. That's the way a lot of people view things. Now, where are we going with this? Really simply, I'm going to take you into the meat of this. If one is absolutely perfect, and everything that they do is absolutely perfection, everything they do is perfect, there's no need for change. Would you agree? Exactly. If there is absolute perfection, everything that is done is absolutely perfect, there is no need for change. As a matter of fact, if you change, that means it's no longer perfect. Did you catch that? To change God, because God is like that. He is absolute perfection. For God to ever change, he would not be perfect. He would not be God. Thus, it is impossible for God to change. Psalm 18:30 says this, that God is perfect. He's the absolute perfection. So to change God means you are making him imperfect. That's important to understand. We just got done singing this beautiful hymn by Thomas O. Chisholm. Beautiful hymn, Greatest Thy Faithfulness. Now, I hope you're not guilty of just singing choruses and hymns without thinking of the words, because did you comprehend what you guys just sang? I asked Rachel to sing that song so that we could comprehend what this was. Look how the first verse goes. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. There is no change, is what this means. This is a quote out of the Bible, which I will show you in a few moments. No shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Does it get any clearer than that? God doesn't change. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forevermore will be, because God does not change. This song is remarkable in its theology because it's taken it right out of verses in the New Testament saying there is no shadow of turning, and as he is, he always will be. God never changes because he is absolute perfection. If God was to change, he is no longer God. He is no longer perfect. This is what we call in theology immutable. So I taught you yesterday some weird words like carotene, anthocyanin. I know you're all like, yeah, that's what that word was. I've been thinking about that all night. Anthocyanin, yes. Well, today I'm giving you another new word. It's called immutable. I know we don't use it very often, and I wanted to give you the definition of it. Now, this is the definition from the American Dictionary of the English Language by Noah Webster, the 1828 version. I love this version of the dictionary because it is exactly saying what it is. It's calling an ace, a diamond, a diamond. It's calling everything exactly this. It's not politically correct. Like many of our dictionaries today, we got to be careful how we word things so we don't offend someone. Noah Webster wrote this, put the first dictionary together. Do you know about Noah Webster? Noah Webster, it is said that you could be walking down the street and here come Noah Webster. And you would say, good morning, Mr. Webster. Mr. Webster, could you please tell me what does Psalm 77 verse 2 say? And Noah Webster would quote it. How many people do we know of can quote the entire Bible by verse? That's how Noah Webster was. He studied it so long, so hard, and one day he felt God telling him, I got a job for you to do. I got something I need you to do, Noah. Yes, Lord, what is it? I want you to write a dictionary. Could you imagine standing in some church service and preacher says, do I have any testimonies? Has God been inspiring anybody? Yes, me. Yes, Noah, what'd God tell you? He told me to write a dictionary. What? Then the reason is because the word of God is a bunch of words. Without the true knowledge of what these words are, how will we know what this is? That's what God put upon Noah's heart, and he wrote that dictionary so that people would understand this. I love this definition. Immutable, as unchangeable, invariable, unalterable, not capable or susceptible of change. Not even capable of change. Wow. And then I love that Noah Webster puts, it's Hebrews chapter 6, he puts verses in his dictionary to help define the word. That's a dictionary. You can buy them today. They're about $49, $50 for one of these. They're usually green cover. They're fantastic. I have one in the Nature Center if anybody wants to see one. It's a fantastic dictionary, but that's the definition of immutable. Not capable or susceptible of change. We don't use immutable very often as a word, but that's what it means. Now, God is holy. The best definition of God, according to most theologians, and these are theologians that generally cannot agree on the color of an orange, will almost always agree that the best definition of God is holy. Because when you say God is holy, you're saying a whole lot of things, not just one. Because God is holy, that means he is perfect. Because God is holy, that means he is absolutely pure. Because God is holy, he is absolute righteousness. Because God is holy, he is immutable. He is unchangeable. All of that fits into the title and the definition of holiness. So that's the best definition. God is holy. He is immutable. Now, I'm just not going to say this. Let's let the word of God tell us himself. Let him tell us what he's saying. In Job chapter 23, verse 13, but he is unchangeable. It's talking about God. He is unchangeable. And who can turn him back? What he desires, he does. Or take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken away. He is absolute perfection. Or how about our theme verse? Does it get any plainer than this? I, the Lord, do not change. I mean, that's a pretty profound statement right there. And by the way, what's going on here? Why in the book of Malachi did God say this so strongly? It's because the people of Israel, what they had done is they had started accepting the other idols and stuff and saying, God, we're sort of getting modern. And God, you got to catch up with the times. You know, it's just not you. There's other idols and stuff, and you need to get caught up with this. We'll worship you, but you got to come along and just get caught up in the times here. We're a modern society. And I'll tell you, I have heard this many times today. People say that God has to change because we're modern now. You know, that's a really relative term. We're not the Greeks modern. Did you ever see those buildings they built? Or how about the Romans? Come with me to Israel. I'll take you into Roman cities Israel today that has the sewer systems are still there. They had running water through aqueducts that went hundreds of miles. And even, if you did not know this, they had stone piping that went for miles and miles. Stone pipes. They drilled holes through stones, locked them together, and ran water. Do you know that if you come with me to Israel, I will take you to a house up in Galilee, a Roman house that had a water running toilet inside the house. I was fascinated with that. I took so many pictures of that. I know, my wife wondered too. So, because they were saying, oh yeah, we're modern, God, you got to catch up. No, this passage, Israel's trying to say that the times have changed, so God should change with the times. Is not that the same thing going around today? Mm-hmm. But God is immutable. He's not capable of change. His way is perfect. He cannot change to man's imperfections. We don't build things right. Things will still break. God makes something, it works. He is perfect. He is absolute perfection, so he can't change. Or how about this one? This is the one that Noah Webster was quoting from. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Or let's look at this. Putting very simply what the writer of Hebrews is saying, he's telling us God is immutable. He is unchangeable. That's what that verse is actually saying. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Now get this, he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. That hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, you see where he's pulling some of this? That's where it's from. God is unchangeable. God's character is so absolute perfection, you can measure things to see how good they are based upon his character. He is the standard, the measuring stick. If you got some idea, I wonder if this is the right thing to do. Stand it up next to God, his character, and you will see if this is a good thing or not. There's no need or capability of anything to change with God. He just does not change. Not like the sands of the seashore. God is more like a rock. As a matter of fact, rocks sitting on the seashore, waves bashing for hundreds of years seem to hardly ever change. That's why ancient Israel often referred to God as a rock, because it was unchangeable to them. In their lifespan, it always looked the same. That's why he is a rock. The psalmist many times refers to God as a rock. And even though for man, for us, times do change, morals do change, morals become loose, they become corrupt. Oh my gosh, what's going on today? God does not change. Holiness is still the same. God is still the same no matter what. He's not going to change. He cannot change. But can God change his mind on an issue? That's a popular one today. Can God change his mind on an issue? In other words, could God make something or say something and it be not quite correct and he has to make an adjustment in there and change his thinking? Well, I think you just got the idea. If an issue is against his character is like rock. It's still going to be against his character. No matter what man says, who are we to tell God how he's supposed to be? How are we supposed to do that? We're not perfect. He is. The imperfect man trying to describe and tell God what he has to do and what he has to accept and stuff? Really? No. For I, the Lord, do not change. No matter what the culture says, the Lord does not change. You cannot change the character of God. Do you understand that? Because if God changes his character, he is no longer perfect. He is no longer God. And that's man's big popular thing today. Man can, and he does, try to sway himself and to sway other people, that God does change his mind on things and on certain issues and stuff, that God changes his mind. That's one of Satan's greatest lies. Is that not what Satan basically said in the garden? God did not say, Adam and Eve, that you would die. Trying to change it. Listen carefully, folks. God does not change. If something was against his character, even before he created the world, because he hasn't changed, he's absolute perfection. If it was against his character before he even began to create things, it is still going to be against his character today, because God is incapable of even changing. Which leads me to one little thing here, and I'll be done. I got called into a debate one time at one of the schools I taught at. Teacher came into my class and says, Michael, you gotta help us out with something. We're having a debate, and my class cannot come to a decision. And she says, they have all agreed that if you come into the room and answer the question, that whatever you say will be the correct answer. Why are you picking on me? She says, I just need your help. Just come on in here. You'll understand. So I go in there, and actually the class had been divided. Half the students were on one side, half of the students on the other. Even the desks had been moved. There was no man's land in the middle. And Kathleen, the teacher, brought me by hand right into the middle of the classroom here. And I'm like sweating bullets at this point. What's this all about? I said, she says, it's a debate. We're trying to debate an issue, and they can't decide. And they can't sway either side. So we need your help. I said, okay, what's the issue? That God cannot do everything. And I went, oh boy, thank you, that's an easy one. Oh, and they're like, what, that's not easy? And I said, yeah, it is. And this group over here is saying, no, God can do anything, everything. And one of them actually went into, I think, a song, something like, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Everybody, nothing is impossible. All right, that didn't go too well. And the other side over here is saying, no, 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 there's certain things God can't do. God can't do everything. And they got arguing. And Kathleen turns, she says, see? And I go, okay, everybody calm down. I said, this is really simple. This is really simple. I said, the answer is so easy. Listen carefully. There are certain things God can't do. This side erupted in cheers. This side was like, blasphemy, get a cross. You know? And they're like, what? No, there's certain things God can't do. There's certain things God can't do, and let me show you what they are. God is limited in his own character. God cannot tempt people. James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. God cannot tempt us. God cannot lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Titus 1, 2. Hebrews 6, 18. And Malachi, God cannot change. And they're all like, ah. So there are certain things God can't do. God cannot sin. He is perfection. That's a great song, but it's not talking about the character of God, because God can't sin. He is absolute perfection. And anything that we come up with, any question, anything in culture, compare it to God's character. If it fits with God's character, it's holy and pure and correct. If it doesn't fit with his character, it's wrong. It's that simple of a problem. God is the standard. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time we've had here, and just ask that you would just bless our time and bless our day. We thank you for this beautiful weather, and may we just have safety today as we enjoy this, and may your Holy Spirit continue to teach us this wonderful aspect of your character, how awesome this is, that you are a God incapable of change. You are the immutable, the holy God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.